Morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Father's Day to all the fathers. Chip, thank you for your wonderful testimony, just to share what God's been doing in your life as a father. And welcome to BCEC. Like Vin said, my name is Dominic Chan, and I'm studying to be a pastor and up at Gordon Conwell. And if you haven't met me before, you probably noticed in the bulletin that there's a brief bio about me, and if you know me, maybe there are little bits about me that you didn't know about me before. So you can go ahead and read that at your leisure. It's truly a privilege and an honor to share God's word with you this morning, as Pastor Tom and Randall aren't here to be with us this morning. And it's truly an honor and privilege for me, because to be able to share God's word from the pulpit with you, just know that, you know, as I'm wrapping up my studies, it's all culminating right now. And so I'm very excited to be here with you this morning. How many of you have heard the phrase, patience is a virtue that builds character? Okay, thanks, Matt. I promised I'd stare at you, so there you go. You know, my fifth grade teacher in Catholic school, Ms. McDermott, she used to say this phrase to us over and over again. She'd remind us that patience is a virtue that builds character. Patience is a virtue that builds character. Why is it that patience builds character? Perhaps you're thinking that patience is a fruit of the Spirit if you're familiar with the Bible. But when life gets tough, what do we do? We often look for the quickest, fastest solution to relieve our pain or our problem. But instead, we often treat life or our problems like a backache. You know, we want to just take an Advil and, you know, we're okay. But that Advil really masks the underlying problems that we might have. Maybe you have a bulging disc, or you have lower back pain, right? You know, you might feel better for as long as, you know, the Advil might last, but eventually that's not going to solve the fact that you have a bulging disc or that you have back problems. And so character is built through patience and resolve that can only be forged on the crucible of challenges, difficulty, and uncertainty. Before we get into this morning's passage, let's turn to God in prayer together. Let's pray. Dear God, we come before you and we ask that the Holy Spirit speak, work through us, that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, and that you would speak through me so that your word might be proclaimed. We ask that we would sense your presence here, and as we sense your presence, Lord, that you would do amazing things that only can be done through the power of the cross, through the Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. And so, I know we read this morning's passage. It's a short passage, though, so I think we have the time to go back and read it again. So James 5, 7 to 9, if you have your bulletin, you can pull it out. And again, we'll just go through it real quick. Let me read James 5, 7 to 9 for us one more time. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. This is the word of the Lord. And so this morning's passage in James 5, 7 to 9 will answer two questions for us. First, what does patience cultivate? In other words, what benefits us to be patient? And secondly, what results in complaining? Or what happens to us when we complain? So what does patience cultivate, and what results from complaining? James is the author of this letter and James is actually the brother of Jesus, and he didn't actually become what we would consider to be a Christian until after Jesus' resurrection. And he later went on to become a prominent leader of the early church. And this, and the letter that he writes is very direct and simple, and just, it's very straightforward. It's a very easy read because of its simplicity and its directness. But because it's simple and direct, don't take James lightly when you read his letter. He writes the letter like he's texting or he's emailing in all bold uppercase, right? He writes in a manner in which he wants us to take action. Take action now. Okay? And so that's what we see when we read his letter. And so in the passage just prior, in James 5:1-6, James warns people against hoarding their wealth and exploiting people in order to amass that wealth. And this rings true for Christians and non-Christians alike. Harvard Business School professor Michael Norton, he wrote this book called Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. And in their research, they tried to find out if how people use their money would make them happy. And make people happy. So what would make you happier? Spending it on yourself or spending it on others? Be honest, you know, as you're thinking through that. They concluded that spending your money on others made people happier than spending it on yourself. And I'm sorry, Harvard, this is not particularly groundbreaking research, right? You know, when we've all heard the expression that money can't buy you happiness. And so, but you know, it's out of this passage in James 5:1-6, that he warns against the dangers of hoarding money. James encourages us in a way in which we should respond, not in an overbearing, impatient, oppressive sort of way, but with a mind to be patient, because we know that Jesus is coming in beautiful glory soon. Usually, I'm the one who goes to Costco to pick up some food for Lynn and I. And now that the weather is in, warm weather is in full swing, you've probably encountered the same problem as me if you've gone to Costco or BJ's or your grocery store, that when you buy fruit, especially the berries, right, that you've got to be really careful, right? You can't just check the exterior. You got to take a really close look, make sure it's not the berries just on the inside. That one layer in, you know, that might have some mold, right? And that's the problem. Sometimes it gets hot in transport and they grow mold. You know, even in the winter, I'm the shameless guy at Costco that rifles through all the Costco orange boxes and has to make sure that I have the oranges that don't have any mold. I pick out the ones that I really like. You know, so I've got three boxes open in front of me, totally shameless. You know, but no one wants the moldy, rotten fruit. And so complaint rots the fruit of patience from becoming a virtue that builds spiritual character. And that's our main idea for this morning, is that complaining rots the fruit of patience from becoming a virtue that builds spiritual character. I want us to understand that out of this patient attitude, the hope of Christ's return is made even more real to us, while complaining and bitterness causes us to be judged. And so our first point this morning is simply that patience develops spiritual character. Patience develops spiritual character. And we see that in verses 7-8. Be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until he receives the early rains, or the spring rains, and the late rains, the fall rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. A hope built on Christ's return requires patience, which builds spiritual character. Realizing patience yields a beneficial reward for us that is difficult for our hearts to compute. being patient with people is hard, isn't it? It is. I struggle with being patient. I want results immediately. It's easy to lose patience with your children when they don't listen to you, right? Or it's easy to lose patience with your parents when you feel like they don't understand you. And so patience forces us to ignore what is immediately in front of us and to refocus not what is in front of us, but what is most centrally and core important. That is beyond. Maybe not right in front of us, but we got to look past that. We got to consider what is most important in that moment. Like the farmer in the text, he must wait on God's faithfulness to provide the rain and in the right season, seize the opportunities that present themselves. Look at verse 8 one more time. When the ESV has established your hearts. Another translation, the NASB, the New American Standard Bible Version, helps, I think, illuminate this a little bit more, where it says, strengthen your heart. And this establish or strengthen idea really has the idea that God will fortify and make their faith resolute, make their faith confident. And so James holds in tension what God will definitively do and what we are to do. So what God will do and what we are called to do. So, are you listening? Because I need you to hear this, because this part's important. What James has in mind is an active preparation. Active preparation. The farmer does not sit idle. He doesn't just put the seeds in the soil and he just waits for them to grow, right? He needs to tend to his crops by fertilizing them, by weeding them. He needs to tend to his tools. He needs to grow the seedlings. He needs to care for the animals that plow his fields. He needs to harvest the spring crops in the spring. He needs to harvest the fall crops in the fall. He needs to prepare for the winter ahead. Active preparation. You know, when I moved to Boston, I was exposed to this idea of PYO. Do you guys know what PYO is? It's pick your own fruit. Have you guys done this usually in the summer or the fall, right? You go to this farm and you go and you pick fruit for yourself and you usually feast along the way, right? I never experienced this growing up in LA. This is just not something we did, or I was really exposed to it. But you know, when I came here, I met people who did this, and I thought it was pretty cool that you could go to the farm and just pick your fruit, and that you could decide to pay exorbitant amount of dollars per pound of apples, and then realize you have way too many apples, and that you've got to get rid of all of them, because if you don't get rid of them, they're going to go bad on you. And so, but when you're on the farm, you look for the heaviest, juiciest fruit, right? And when you bite into that apple and you get that crunch and that crisp, it's right off the tree, and it's so sweet. And the key is going at the right time, right? You don't go in the winter. You don't go even in the spring. You know, you wait for the fall to go to pick those apples. So if you don't care for the crop, you pick them too early, you pick them too late, they're not going to be sweetened anymore. And so like the farmer, we too must be preparing. Be actively preparing. Active preparation. We must be actively preparing. We must have a mindset of active preparation in order to receive the sweet reward of patience. This may mean practicing sharing the gospel with a trusted friend so that the words of sharing the gospel message rolls off your tongue, so you just have the practice instead of being worried when that moment arises where you may actually have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone, that instead of being caught up and being afraid that you're going to stumble over your words, you've practiced that. You've gotten yourself comfortable with those words coming out of your mouth, and that you would be ready to share the message of the transformative power of Jesus and the renewal and the transformation that can only come through the cross of Christ, and that when you don't see that opportunity coming, but you've been preparing and you're ready, you can seize that opportunity. You can seize that moment. Or you could learn and inform yourself about issues of justice, like human trafficking, and other issues that, and that you could pray that God would give you a burden for these issues. Or it could even mean deepening your theological understanding. You know, maybe there's that book that's been sitting out on your shelf and it's collecting dust and you've always wanted to read it, but you just, it felt too intimidating. It felt, I can't do it. Maybe this is what it would look like for you to be actively preparing. Or if you're not a Christian, maybe what this means is asking someone who's brought you to New Community to ask them, what is this Christianity all about? What are things that there are still things I don't understand. Maybe that's what active preparation would look like for you. Regardless of what it looks like for you, that active preparation, pursue it in a manner in which you will be able to reap the reward of your patience, reap the reward of your efforts when the time comes. While we see how Christ's return helps us keep a patient attitude, complaining robs the fruit of our patience. We see that patience develops spiritual character. And that's the second point that James teaches us this morning, is that complaining rots the fruit of character. Do you have someone in your life that you vent to when you just got to get things off your chest, right? When you're really frustrated with work, when you're frustrated with school, when you're frustrated with life, do you text that person? Do you email them? Do you call them up on the phone? And you just gotta let it all out, right? Verse 9 tells us that complaining rots the fruit of patience, which affects your character. Be it personal or spiritual character, it affects your character nonetheless. Complaining is the very antithesis of patience. You cannot complain and be patient. These are mutually exclusive ideas. Show me the person who can complain patiently. Right? Can't happen. It's easy to complain so that we can bond with people, right? Because we want someone who is sharing in our plight with us. Maybe it's easy for you to complain when maybe a teacher gives an exam to you, to your class on Friday, when that teacher decides to give that exam to the other classes, say on Tuesday, right? And you have to take it early. And it's easy to complain how everyone else got off easy, right? Or maybe there's someone at work who's not pulling their weight on a project that you're all working on together. It's easy to complain to each other. I really wish, why can't they just do the same amount of work that we're pulling, right? The same amount of work that we all are doing. It's that one person, that person, right? And so it's easy to complain and grumble with everyone else. But ultimately, what complaining indicates is an unsatisfied heart. Listen to that again. Complaining indicates an unsatisfied heart. Comparison breeds bitterness. And when a promotion is available in your group, and everyone gets interviewed, everyone on the inside, they're comparing, who did better in the interview, who has better skills, who has better relationships with people. They're comparing every little thing, aren't they? Or what happens when the varsity coach decides to bring a few players up from JV up to the varsity team? It's not uncommon that your teammates might experience jealousy and bitterness that they've been passed over to be promoted up. James is encouraging you not to complain, and his image is as simple as it gets. He's saying, imagine God is next to you when you complain. Don't do it. And this isn't a guilt trip. God's not trying to guilt trip you. This is for your benefit, because complaining tears down the patient moments you've cultivated so that you can no longer reap the rewards of patience. Judgment is for everyone, non-believers and believers alike. For non-believers, judgment is the eternal separation from God and His magnificence. And yet for Christians, judgment of one's life and sins is and has already been paid for on the cross of Christ. And that means the eternal worship of God. And when we worship and when we sing, singing is profound because it's something that's been embedded into us, right? And that's the power of music and of song. And when we tap into that, we realize that one day we are meant to praise and worship our God. And so what James is describing, when God is at the door, he's saying that God is close. Physically close and temporarily close. Time-wise, He is close. James is pleading with us that a whining, a grumbling heart runs counter to what God would desire for us. When you hear yourself or maybe others around you complaining, I challenge you. Catch yourself. Pause for a moment. Pray right then and there. You don't have to bow your head. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to stop listening or stop talking. But you can articulate the knowledge of your impatience, and you can express your desire for patience to God. Ask God not to have a whining, a complaining heart, but a patient heart that first seeks to understand. Complaining rots the fruit of patience from becoming a virtue that builds spiritual character. And this is the very heart of the gospel and what distinguishes those that believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior versus those who choose to believe in whatever they so choose. Christians believe in and can bank on the hope of Christ's return. And thus they can wait patiently on whatever difficulties might come. They have the bandwidth for patience. However, complaining truly does rot the fruit of patience from becoming a virtue that builds spiritual character. Complaint resulting from comparison compels us to take control of our lives as if we know what is truly best for us. By trusting in the hope of Christ through His perfect life, death, and resurrection, Christians can trust their lives and hand their lives over to God, acknowledging that whatever difficulties lie ahead, they can trust in God. Complaining rots the fruit of patience from becoming a virtue that builds spiritual character. Let me close us in a word of prayer. Father God, we come before You and we ask that we'd be keenly aware of the moments in which we lose patience, the moments in which we might find ourselves grumbling and whining. May Your Holy Spirit challenge us, rebuke us in that moment so that we may be aware, and in being aware, Lord, that our character would grow, that we would grow in love for You, that we would grow in our own character so that we may begin to reflect Your glory and Your truth. It can only come from You. Let me pray. Amen.